Well, this morning we are in a new study about following Jesus, and we're going to turn to Matthew chapter 9, please. Matthew chapter 9. Some of you are aware that I was up in Chicago during that, what they called a polar vortex. It was extremely unusual weather. It was, one day it was minus 28, and that was regular temperature. The day before was minus 50 with the wind chill. So the city was shutting down. Air traffic was shut down. Even the mailmen did not deliver mail. I know. The unofficial motto stopped. The trains were shut down. I was supposed to return on the train on Thursday. I had to change my ticket to Friday, and then they were having mechanical trouble with several of the trains, so my train was delayed. But I was there in Union Station in Chicago. If you are familiar with the movie The Untouchables with Kevin Costner and Sean Connery, there's a scene in it where they are trying to catch the bookkeeper of Al Capone. And there is a lady with a baby on the stroller on a set of stairs. Well, that was taken there at Union Station. So it was kind of unique. But you know, it was amazing. The crowd started to grow because of the train after train after train was delayed. And you know, crowds can be messy. Have you ever been in crowds that get messy? Maybe you're the cause of the messiness. I don't know. But they can get messy. And there was a couple that was sitting next to me, and they were not happy. They were a little flustered about their train being late, and they had all kinds of suggestions for the Amtrak. They were telling me about the suggestions instead of telling them. But, you know, I was just praying, Lord, don't let them lose control. But for the most part, the group of people were there were just pretty much settled in with the fact that their trains are going to be late. Mine ended up being over 11 hours late, but by that time, I had already gone back to my brother's house, and I flew out the next morning. But the reality is that we all come across people in our life, right? When we go to the markets, when we go to the store, when we go to entertainment centers, when we're out in our neighborhoods, we find crowds of people. But what do? Some of you are introverts, right? Some of you kind of just shy away from the crowds. Some of you just kind of hide from them, kind of, you know, oh, there's going to be too many people there. And others of you, man, you're in your glory when people are around you. I mean, whether it's 50 people or one, you're just as loud and as crazy as ever. But how do we deal with the crowds? How did Jesus deal with the crowds? How did Jesus work the crowds? How did he engage and encounter? Now, you might say, well, you know, Pastor, if you're going to talk about how Jesus dealt with the crowds, he's God, and so he's just on a different level. But you know what Paul says in Corinthians? He says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. So we have a responsibility to imitate and to walk in the footsteps of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we see here, after chapter 5, 6, and 7, which is known as the Sermon on the Mount, we come and see Jesus in action in chapters 8 and 9. In fact, we see how Jesus cleanses the leper. He heals the centurion's servant. He heals Peter's mother-in-law of fever. He calms the storm. He delivers men from demonic possession. He heals a paralytic. He raises a girl from the deathbed. He heals two blind men and casts out a demon out of a person, the kingdom of demon out of a man who was mute. And here Jesus is demonstrating that in his person, the kingdom of God has arrived. It is on the scene. He is into the commissioning of his, he goes into the commissioning of his apostles. And then Matthew lets us know, okay, what is the motive behind this man of action? What motivates him? What moves him? Well, there's a lot of things that we can see, but Matthew focuses in on one thing, and it's the idea of compassion. And friends, we live in a day and an age where compassion isn't really sought after. It's a quality that is missing. It is a quality that we need to press for and to go back towards. And this is the motive behind his teaching and his miraculous work. And we see how Jesus ministers to individuals. He talks with them, and he heals them, and he cares for them, and he loves them. Even though there's crowds around him, he was walking and a woman touched his cloak. to be healed. And he turns around and says, who touched me? And his disciples, man, he's losing it. There's so many people pressing on him. But Jesus was well aware of the individual. Friends, are we aware of the individuals around us? Are we aware of those who we pass by on our way to work, on our way to school, on our way to the market, on our way around the block? Are we aware of, do we notice when somebody's missing? Are we conscious of individuals? How about here in church? You know, for the most part, unlike maybe today's a little different day because we have family here, but normally when most of you sit in your regular spot. And do you ever take notice that somebody that normally sits next to you is not here? Where are we at with our compassion? Where are we at with our sensitivity to notice people, to notice individuals? Well, we want to see four things here in this passage of Matthew chapter 9, and we start at verse 35. But I want us to think about something. Christianity is a contact sport. It's not a philosophical discussion. What do I mean a contact sport? We need to get it into gear. We need to, as the Bible tells us, put on and put off stuff. We need to work out our salvation. We need to press on. And there's other commands that tell us that our sanctification, though given to us by God in our position with Christ, in the practical everyday living, we need to get in there and get our hands dirty and help others on that journey to move forward. And if you're like me, I need a sanctified push more than I want to admit. A push to read, a push to pray, a push to talk to somebody. Because I tend to be, by nature, shy and introverted. Whatever you see of me today is a work of the Holy Spirit in my life. Because of Him, and because only because of Him, do I see a need to step out of my comfort zone. And that's point number one. We need to push back the desire to stay in your comfort zone. You need to push back that desire to stay among the holy huddle or to the us four and no more kind of mentality. To go beyond. Now, look about Jesus in verse 35. Jesus was going through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. But I don't have that power, and I'm not Jesus. The point I want to make to you is simply this. Jesus left heaven to be a man so that he can identify with us, so that he could die in our place and be sacrificed for our sins. Is that getting out of your comfort zone? He came out of his comfort zone to do the work that the Father had set for him. What I want to tell you is, are you doing the work the Father has set for you? Yes, you will have to get out of your comfort zone. Yes, it's easier to isolate yourself. Yes, it's easier to put a barrier around your family, we call it a hedge of protection. And there's nothing wrong with protecting your family, but not at the expense of not doing what God has called you to do. You know, a lot has been said about that young man who went to that people group that ended up killing him. But when you have a calling from God, you follow it. When you have a calling from God, you serve. The Son came in obedience to the Father to this earth to accomplish the work the Father had set for him. If you know the book of Esther, Queen Esther was raised up in Mordecai said to her, when she was doubtful about whether to go in and have an audience with the king, he said that maybe God has raised you up for a time such as this. What is the time that God has raised you for? What is the responsibility? What is the work that God has called you to be involved in? For Sarah and Saul and Francisco and Jessica at this point, part of their calling, part of their job, or part of their responsibility is to raise their children in a godly environment, to provide them with opportunities to grow in Christ. And it's not just about raising them in church, it's about raising them in Christ. And then when we see that our responsibility of raising our children in Christ, that part of that is raising them in church. What is the ministry God is calling you for? Jesus didn't look down on the hurting people. He was out and about with them. I like to people watch. I like to sit in the corner, or I like to sit in the market or at the entrance and just look at people. Isn't it amazing how everybody looks so different? Except Jess and his brother. We saw his brother yesterday. Hijo. When I saw him from behind, I thought, hey, Jess, what are you doing? But it wasn't Jess. But for the most part, God has interesting people for us to rub shoulders with. The second thought I want to bring to you is that we need to push for a compassionate heart. Because it doesn't just happen, friends. Sure, we can show compassion for those in our immediate family, for some, or for those in our small circle of friends, but usually that compassion doesn't go much further. Look what it says about Jesus. Seeing the people, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited, like sheep without a shepherd. They were being taken advantage of, and they were discouraged. And he saw that because he rubbed shoulders with them. Because he was out and about, and he heard their stories. Do we take time to hear people's stories, or are we too busy telling our story? Are we willing to listen to their heartache and their pain, or are we too busy trying to tell them about ours? But you know what? You should hear what happened to me this week. Or are we willing to listen with compassion? Seeing the people, he felt compassion. Do you have a heart of compassion for those outside of your circle, of your comfort zone? In today's environment, people are quick to form opinions, quick to pick sides, quick to place blame. But friends, a person of compassion will wait and will listen and will seek an opportunity to reach in and touch somebody's life. When you rub shoulders and hear people's stories, pray for your compassion to grow. To pray for your compassion to grow to help meet their real needs. Push for a compassionate heart. Push to get outside. Rebel against the idea of staying in your comfort zone. Because it's comfortable there. You know, we were facing this cold front. Man, I gained a few pounds up there because you eat and you sit in the recliner. Because there's no going out. I mean, we had to go out every now and then to snow blow the driveway so we can get in and out. Because for those of you who are not aware, my brother's waiting for a liver transplant, and we had to go to the hospital 3 different times. So we had to make sure that the driveways were snow blown, that ice wouldn't form, and we could get out the driveway. But otherwise, you know, the comfort zone, the blanket, the heater, the snacks, the whatever else, it's just easy to stay in there because it was frigid outside. Friends, things can be frigid outside your house. Things can be chaotic outside your house. But God has still called us to participate in that. And as we do, we pray for a heart of compassion. Father, give me a heart of compassion. Father, help me to see beyond the people's veneer. Paul tells the Colossians, so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion. It's not impossible when we follow Christ to have a heart of compassion. In fact, it's rebelliousness when we don't. You realize that? When we choose not to follow this command to put on a heart of compassion, we are being rebellious with God. Our third point. So push back the idea of a desire to stay in your comfort zone. Push to have a heart of compassion. Point number 3, push to see past the superficial. Look what he says here in the second half of verse 36. He had compassion on the people. Why? Because they were distressed, taken advantage of, and dispirited or discouraged, like sheep without a shepherd. See, we become short-sighted to the real need. We start to make judgments about people, don't we? Oh, I don't like the way they color their hair, or they cut their hair, or they dress their clothes, or the way they talk, or where they act, or they have those biker jackets on, or they have those lowrider cars, or you know they look like they're strung out, or tweakers, I guess they're called. So we have all these labels for people, right? And we're afraid to get beyond the superficial, because behind all that veneer, behind all that activity, and all that talk, and all that lifestyle, there's a hurting heart. There's a heart that's in need of Christ. We always want to be around the pretty people, the nice people, the generous people, the caring people. But you know what I found? Some of those people are in worse shape because they think they're okay, but they still don't have Christ. Friends, let's get beyond and let's open our eyes to the plight of the people. We can't solve every situation. We can't help every person. But like the little boy who was throwing starfish that were on the shore back into the ocean, the man asked him, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm trying to save these starfish." He said, "You can't save them all." He said, "Yeah, but I can save this one, and I can save this one." We may not be able to change a movement on our own, but we can help be used by God to change an individual, right? And those individuals are you, because somebody took time and invested in you. Open your eyes and let Christ work in your heart to see the real root of the problem. Allow your compassion to open your eyes to gospel opportunities. Earlier in the chapter in Matthew 9, it says in verse 10, "Then it happened that as Jesus reclined at the table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were dining with Jesus and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, 'Why is your teacher eating with these people? Doesn't he know them?'" See, all they saw were their labels. Jesus saw their heart, and he wanted to touch their heart. Friends, if we're going to be children of God, if we're going to be Christ followers, if we're going to be disciple makers, let's work on people's heart. He says, "But when Jesus heard this, he said to them, 'It is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire compassion and not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but to call sinners.'" Friends, thank God that he called me. Thank God that he's calling you and has called many of you. And he might be calling a few of you this morning. Push past the desire to stay in your comfort zone. Push for a heart of compassion. Push past the sea. Push to see past the superficial. I was invited to go visit somebody, some guy. His name was Joker. I don't remember. I didn't know his real name. But at the moment he was withdrawing from heroin, I says, "I've never used heroin. I've never done any of those extreme drugs." And all I could tell him, I says, "You know, Joker, I have no clue what you're going through. I have no understanding. I've never experienced it. I have no idea. But I do know who can help you, and his name is Jesus." See, because beyond his addiction to heroin was a spiritual need for a Savior. And friends, as important as it is to get somebody sober, to get somebody off their addiction, we need to get them with Christ, that they would serve him and love him and find the forgiveness that he needs. The fourth thought, we need to push for God to send workers. We're not pushing God. We're pushing ourselves to pray for God to send workers. Okay? Look what he says in verse 37. "Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech, call on, pray, cry out the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest.'" Friends, even in Christ's time, the workers were few. In most churches, it's 20% that do 20% of the people do 80% of the work. Let's make sure Pico Verde Bible Church does better than that. That we are working at 100% involvement. That we are working at 100% of reaching the community, reaching our family, reaching our friends, serving in the ministry to teach, to raise up, to lift up, to encourage, to build, to strengthen, to teach. When we see gospel opportunities, are we looking for them? Years ago, when our church was looking for a building, I'd see a building, and the kids were already, yeah, Dad, we know, that could be a good church, huh? Good church building. But do we do that with gospel opportunities? What do we see when we see the homeless? What do we see when we see that gangbanger? What do we see when we see people struggling? What do we see when we watch cops? I mean, we don't watch cops, but when you know, that kind of a thing. What do we do? How did those people get there? How can we make a difference? Those are somebody's children. Those are somebody's grandchildren. Will we be able to solve the homeless situation? Probably not. But can we help one of them? Can we help somebody not to get to that point of homelessness? Pray for opportunities with the gospel. Pray for God to send other workers to come out there. Martin Luther had a really good friend who committed to pray for Martin Luther when Martin Luther was out preaching and teaching the word and bringing about a revolution to the church and to Christianity and to the gospel and to true doctrine. And his friend was committed to pray day in and day out until one night he had a dream and he saw a man out there in the harvest by himself. And he felt God tug at him. He said, friend, and this is what he sensed. Friend, pray, but get out there and help Martin Luther. Friends, prayer is important. It is essential. But we need to get out there and get our hands dirty. In John chapter 4, when Jesus was ministering to the Samaritan woman, she went back to her people. And she went back and told them what was going on. But when the disciples had come up on him, he's like, what's he? Because a Jewish man did not talk to a woman in public that was not his wife or spouse. And then let alone a Samaritan because of the racial prejudice. And then on top of that, they want to go get food and Jesus isn't hungry. What's going on, Lord? We went and got... So Jesus tells them in chapter 4, verse 35, do not say there are 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. They are white for harvest. Already he who reaps is receiving wages and is gathering fruit for life eternal, so that he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this case, the saying is true. One sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap for what you did not labor. Others have labored and you have entered into their labor. There is a partnership, friends, when we work together. When our church works with other churches, when we work as a community of believers to reach for the kingdom of God, for His glory, as we go about ministering, and some of you are great at planting the seed of sharing the gospel, and others of you are better, more gifted at teaching and developing. But it's a partnership, it's a unity. We work together. Let's push and pray, God, send us workers. We need God-sent workers. Jesus says, I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored and you have entered into their labor. Friends, we're not in competition with other Bible-believing, Bible-preaching churches. We are in partnership with them. They may be of a different denomination. They may have a different name. They may have a different style of worship. But when they preach the word and they believe the doctrines of the scriptures, we are in partnership with them. We're in partnership today. We have one church in two languages. And today, starting today, we have a new pastor in our Spanish ministry, Chris Aldana. And they are serving now with us, and they're going to work together We're going to work together to glorify God in this community, because this community is more than bilingual. It's actually, I think, trilingual, because there's a lot of Tagalog speakers here in Pico Rivera. But we are here to reach the community, and we are here in partnership. Amen? So friends, where are you? Maybe you're the one seeking somebody to show compassion on you. Friends, let's open our eyes. Let's open our mouths. Let's open our ears. Let's reach. Let's touch somebody. Because we want to be a church that leaves no one behind. That no one is left alone. That no one has can't walk away and say, they don't care for me. They don't love me here. Friends, that we would be a church of compassion. That we would show a difference in the volatile world that we live in, the politics, the economics, the racial prejudice, whatever it is that's going on out there. Father, may we be different because we are children of God. And our Savior Jesus Christ was a person of compassion who ministered in love. Where are you there? Where are you at in that journey? Have you received the compassion of God through salvation? And if not, maybe that's where you need to start. Maybe you have, but you've kind of fizzled out a little. Friends, push to get back on track. Sarah texts me saying, hey, I saw pictures when I was up in Chicago. The train tracks are on fire up in Chicago. I was like, what? What's going on? So I looked it up. Now, they get ropes, and they dip them in, soak them in kerosene, and they put them on the tracks and light them up to heat them up. So especially in the area where the switches are, so the trains get on the right track at the right time, to keep the switches warm. Maybe today you need a little kerosene rope with a little fire. You know what that's called? The Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit will put a little fire in your heart to love people and to see them with a different outlook. Maybe you need to go make peace with somebody in your family. Maybe you need to go make peace with your neighbor. Maybe you need to go make peace with your spouse, your children. But friends, come to the realization that Christ is our all in all, and that we are sufficient in Him. A cellist was invited to perform some music at a local prison. And he accepted the invitation, and when he arrived, he realized he was scheduled to go on after a hip-hop group. And the hip-hop group, they did a good job of getting the men riled up and excited and dancing and singing. And the cellist is sitting there just shaking his head like, are these guys even going to respond? Should I even play? I wish I would have gone before these guys. But he was committed, and he got up there, and he got the guys to quiet down and sit. And he introduced the song as a song dedicated to moms. And he played his instrument, and he just played, and something unusual, something unique, something he didn't expect. He saw tears trickling down the men's eyes. At the end of his song, one of the prisoners asked him to play it again. See, the hip-hop guys got the physical and the flashy and all this excitement. The cellist touched their heart. Friends, you may not be flashy, you may not be exciting, you may have a vanilla testimony. But when you listen and touch somebody's heart, that makes a difference. Make a commitment to go out with a heart of compassion to touch people's hearts. My friend Dan from Arizona has a model for his life. Touching lives, building relationships. Let's commit ourselves to touching lives. But maybe this morning you need to let Christ touch your life. Touch your heart. And he offers to do so when you acknowledge that you're a sinner and that he is the only one who can bring you forgiveness and peace and mercy. For Christ is the gift of God. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the power of God unto salvation. And friends, maybe that's what you need this morning. Whichever boat you're in, keep rowing to Christ. Father, we come this morning grateful for parents who are willing to commit themselves to raising their children in the gospel. We pray, Lord, that you would continue to strengthen the Alonsos and the Arredondos and the other families here, Father. Lord, that you would minister to them and through them, Father, as they reach out to other families and other young couples with babies and young children, Father. Continue to show your mercy and grace, Father. Continue to love us, Father, as we walk with you and love you, and Father, and even though we know that even when we're disobedient, your love is there. And your love many times is demonstrated with a disciplining hand. Father, may we accept that and grow from that. Guide us this morning, Father, with a heart of compassion that we might see beyond the superficial and see the hearts of men and women and their desperate need for Christ. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your word and the power that we find in it. In Christ's name we pray. God's people said, amen. God bless you all.